And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So, quote from a wonderful pastor named Vance Havner that's applicable for today as we confirm and receive those into the Anglican Communion, but really the focus is in on receiving them, confirming them in their baptism, and that is to serve the Lord and to make him known to the world. So Vance addresses that this way, because there are different ways that people approach that. He says, we are not going to move this world by criticism of it. Think about how many times the church is represented as being condemning in her approach to reaching people. We're not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it. And some of us know how the church has done that, tries to see where the wind is blowing in the culture and get ahead of the culture and lead them. No, not by conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. That's what we're praying for today. That's what Pentecost made possible. And so we celebrate that in the Lord's gift of His Spirit, who literally had flames as of fire above their heads, signifying the fire of the Holy Spirit descending upon His people, His church. But that Holy Spirit is to be within, who ignites us, to provide a combustion that can bring life to the world. And that's our mission. In fact, in today's liturgy, we hear this, that the Archbishop is going to declare this, by the power of the Holy Spirit manifested in gifts and fruit, we are enabled to be God's people for the sake of the world. For the sake of the world. And so you are going to have hands laid upon you where the Holy Spirit is prayed to come upon you more and more. You've received Him. You've been baptized in Christ. You have Him. But more and more, so that you will bless the world. And that calling to bless the world goes way back. It's been the Lord's call from the very beginning. So let's rehearse the story a little bit. In the beginning, God created us, male and female. It was awesome. It was perfect. And then we sinned. And that brought devastation, corruption to the whole created order. We call it the fall. It all became less than what God created it to be. And God promised He wasn't going to leave it that way. He was going to come to the rescue. He's going to provide the seed of the woman who would crush Satan's head. And so now we have then the account through the rest of Scripture of that unfolding. And in His great purpose and provision, He called a man named Abram to follow Him. And listen to this. You can turn quickly if you'll get there to chapter 12 of Genesis. But here it is, 12. This is page 11 in your sanctuary Bibles. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So He's calling him. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So He calls Abram out, promises him these wonderful things. But the culmination of it is that the world, the families of the world will be blessed. And of course, as Christians, we look back at that and say, well, that was fulfilled in Jesus. He's the means by which the whole world will be blessed. But you see, we're the means by which that good news about Jesus is to go. When the Lord raised up Abram's descendants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and those who descended from them. He raised them up to be witnesses in the world. So he calls his family out. They ended up slavery in Egypt. He brings them out of Egypt, takes them to the promised land, and then he establishes then the way their behavior is to be. It's called, often referred to as the Old Covenant. The original covenant was with Abram. I'm going to call you to be my people. It's by my grace. But now, as my people, you need to live out what that is to be my people. And I'm putting you in this very strategic place. Call it Israel. But the nations, the empires would come and go through there. And as they did, they were supposed to be exposed to the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through whom they could be saved. They would be blessed. Of course, that was going to require that Israel keep that covenant and live faithfully to him so that the nations would see him through them. Genesis chapter 43. No, excuse me. Isaiah chapter 43. Page 6, excuse me, 767. If you'll turn with me there. We'll start with verse 1. Page 767. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Who's done it? I have. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. As we go through these passages today, I want you to hear that you are his. You're born into his family. You are his. But we have the same mission. Verse 10, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. You've been chosen. All have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been called, have been chosen by him to be his witnesses. That you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. So we're to grow in the knowledge and love of him so we know who he is. And that should bring change in our life. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. God has told us that right from the very beginning. And we know from Acts that the apostles proclaimed that there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is God the Son. And so, the Savior of the world. They were to declare that. We are to declare that. They were witnesses to who he was. And their life was supposed to be a witness to that. But we have a problem. They couldn't do it. Hence we get to our Old Testament passage that Bishop Clark picked. So turn with me to Ezekiel 36. This is page 918 in your sanctuary Bibles. Well, I'll start on verse 16, so 917. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. How they lived their life. Their life was not a witness of the Lord. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. That's quite an image. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. So they put other things before me, just like the nations around them. They conformed to the world. Well, that certainly wasn't going to be for the good of the world. In fact, what does the world end up saying? Just as they do for Christians who are hypocrites, right? Say, who needs that? What kind of God could that be? If they're like that. Happens all the time today, doesn't it? Heartbreaking. So the Lord goes on. Verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name. You see, because you're associated with me this way, and I've made promises, I keep my promises. So I'm going to fulfill this, the promises that I made. And I'm doing it not because you're worthy, but for my name's sake, my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. So bad news here. What's the solution? The Lord provides the promise of the solution. Verse 25, this is where our passage actually begins today. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. Who's going to do this? I, the Lord. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So what's going on here? They couldn't live up to the covenant promises they made. They were an unholy people. They were unlike the Lord. They couldn't do it because humanity's natural state with the fall is a hard heart made of stone. And I will give you a heart of flesh. So what we got to have here is a heart transplant. And you can't do that on yourself, but I can, and I will, and I promise to do that. And so there's that promise, and that really is Ezekiel following up on what the prophet Jeremiah said, and you'll be familiar with this term. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, meaning the covenant in Sinai. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. They can't do it, but I'm actually going to put it within them. And I will write it on their hearts, the hearts that I make new by my spirit dwelling within them. Okay, so this is being promised. We're working towards that. And then our Lord comes, and he speaks to them, all of us, of the necessity of being born again. How are you going to get that new heart? That heart of flesh, my heart, my spirit. It has to happen by having a new life. And so Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he goes on. What's he emphasizing there? There's, of course, several ways that one can interpret by what he means by water and the Spirit. All of them ultimately point to this, is what he's saying, is you need to be born of God. It's one thing to be born of the flesh. That doesn't save you because your flesh is corrupt. What you need is someone to save you, save your spirit. So we turn to John chapter 1. And we get this clarified. The great prologue of John, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, meaning receive Jesus, who believed in his name, who put their trust in him, he gave the right to become children of God. That's how you become a child of God. Not everybody's a child of God. That's often said out there, oh, we're all children of God. No, we're not. We're all created in his image, but we're fallen, we're broken, we're in rebellion. We need to trust in him. And he gives the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, not man's determination, nor of the will of man, but of God. So that's what Jesus is bringing home there. You need a new birth, and it needs to be done by God. And that work of new birth is done by his Spirit. That same Spirit that was promised from the Old Testament that will bring the change of life. This is what needs to happen. Well, how does that happen? Well, the Spirit of God works that within you, and you have the famous passage that comes shortly after the declaration of the need to be born again, when it is said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." To be born again requires that you put your trust in who Jesus is and what he's done. Who is Jesus? We'll hit this more next week with Trinity Sunday. He is God the Son. The same God who says, "I am the Savior and there is no other." This God came into the world through his Son Jesus. And he died on the cross. This God-man died on the cross so that you and I would have our sins paid for. That's the means. And then he works by his Spirit that we put our trust in what he's done. Have you done that? That's it. That's it for us, right? That's what we got to do. Don't leave here today without putting your trust in Jesus in that way. And he's done it. And if you believe that, you trust that, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But he ain't done with you yet. We don't have those babies born and just leave them on the porch, do we? No, we nurture them. We care for them. And we raise them up in the knowledge and love of the Lord. And we commit ourselves to growing in him. The baptismal covenant, we've entered into that. And that life needs to be nurtured. That's what all our ministry here at COK is about. We're raising up, call it disciples, see, trainees, right? We're talking about followers of Jesus to become more and more like him. And so we come to this day where we say to the Lord, in confirmation, we say, "Lord, here I am. In the power of your Spirit, send me to be a blessing to the world. Because you, Lord, love the world. I get frustrated with the world, but you love the world. The world treats me poorly at many times, but you love that world. You came and suffered on the cross for that world. And we, as your heirs, are to have that same mission. That mission to be witnesses that was Israel's purpose is our purpose." And so the Lord promises us the power to do it. In his Holy Spirit. Israel could not do it without the Spirit. We can't do it without dependence upon the Spirit. Everyone who puts their trust in the Lord, that's done by the Spirit, and he's within you, as we'll see in the next passage momentarily. But we need to give ourselves over to him. "Lord, do what you will with me." Surrender is the word I would use. Surrender to him. And that's what you're doing when you're coming up here before the bishop. And he's praying over you. "Lord, here I am. I want more of you, Lord, so I can be more like you and live like you in the world and so fulfill being the body of Christ." So the Lord foretold himself. He foretold that he would do this. He says, you need to be born again. That requires the Spirit to do that. And then he told his disciples this, which instructs us in what the Holy Spirit can do. So turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Because this call to be witness to be a blessing to the world, we cannot do on our own. But he promises us a helper. Verse 15 and 16. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That Greek word there, parakletos. Actually, two words, so compound word. Called out, kletos, and alongside. So it's saying, this one who's called alongside of you, and I will provide another helper. Of course, that word there doesn't mean of a different type. It means of the same type. So you guys don't want me to leave. That's what the conversation was. They were upset. Jesus is leaving us. Who wants Jesus to leave? No way. No way. This can't happen. It's going to be bad having him go. What he ends up telling us is, I'm sending you another just like me. In fact, he and I are one, as I can add my own words, because he's the Holy Spirit. He's one with the Father and with me. This another one I'm sending to be alongside you, to be your advocate, your counselor, who gives you the wisdom to deal with whatever, the wisdom, the strength. He will hold you up. He's God. Well, we'll get more into that in a second here. Okay. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Now, sometimes we quench him. We tell him, Lord, I'll do it myself. I've done that. Not willingly, I mean mindfully, but I've done it. You've done it. Sometimes I've said, okay, I get it, Lord. Follow me. No, I'm to follow him. I'm to be strengthened and empowered by him. So, Lord, let me go in your name. You're the helper. Okay, coach me along the way here, Lord. Show me what to do. Enable me to do it. That's what the Holy Spirit's there to do. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I remember the Easter hymn. I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Talking about Jesus. Well, how does Jesus live in my heart? He lives in my heart by his Spirit. And, you know, in my life, that's something miraculous has happened where the Lord has united me with his Spirit. Some miracle. And when you submit to him, you begin to see the change, that you're able actually to live out what the Lord calls you to do, just like he said he'd do. Down to verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. You know, think about that with the apostles. Look at these gospels. Isn't it amazing all the content that's there? And then how they were able to unpack that for us. What does that mean for our lives in the epistles? Well, the Lord says, I'm the one that's going to inspire you to remember these things. I'm going to bring it to your remembrance. And I'm actually going to connect the dots for you so you guys get it as you're sharing it. I will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you these things. Well, think about that for you. Is that the same Holy Spirit that you have in your life? He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's an incredible thing he did with the apostles. So do you think that maybe when you're out there in the world, he can do something with you? He might be able to use you, even though you don't know how. You don't think you're able. He is. This is supposed to be a supernatural life, not lived in my own power, but in his, to where he enables us to do things we can hardly think of doing. That's the God that you've entered into relationship with. Chapter 16, verse 26, 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So you see, the Lord's objective there is that we will bear witness. And it's the Holy Spirit who will enable us to do that. So then we think of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, Jesus is with his disciples just before he ascends into heaven. So he's already promised them that he's going to give the Holy Spirit. And he tells them this again. He says, And you will have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That was the call to his disciples, his apostles. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. That's what I pray for us at COK. Lord, keep coming upon us that we will be your witnesses. That's your desire for us. And he also gave them that great commission. Go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. So we're to bear witness to who the Lord is, and we're to raise up disciples. That's what we're about here at COK. The ministries that we have are intended for you to be equipped and discipled and strengthened in your life in Christ, so that as you go into the world in his name, you shine for him. You're a witness. Either your lifestyle, actually all of it, not either or. Whatever you say, whatever you do in his name. And he will shine through you. He will do it. And that's what he calls us to. And he provides the power to do it. So turn with me to our last passage assigned for this day. This is Romans chapter 8, one of the great chapters in the Bible. The bishop assigned from verse 11, but I'm going to go to verse 9. You, however, brothers and sisters, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, have you received Jesus as Savior and Lord and been baptized in his name? Okay. His Holy Spirit is within you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Now, part what I want you to notice here, he speaks of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Those aren't two separate. It's just two different titles for the same person. When we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's God's Spirit. A lot of people are afraid, this Holy Spirit stuff kind of makes me nervous, you know? Is it a force? Is it impersonal? Is he gonna make me out of control? He's not impersonal. You can't get more personal than the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And do you love Jesus? And do you know Jesus loves you? That's his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. That's who's within you. Incredible. He loves you. He's with you. That's where Jesus could say, and lo, I am with you always to the ends of the age. So when you're out there in the world, you're not by yourself, even if you seem to be alone. If you're betrayed by others, you're not by yourself. You have the lover of your soul right with you. And he brings to life. So if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what kind of power was that? To raise Jesus from the dead. And then we begin to wonder, well, can he do something with me? Do we not do that? I mean, we act like it anyway. Of course he can. But we need to surrender it to him. Give it to him. Lord, and it's a struggle, I know. I struggle. Okay, Lord, I got to give this to you. I got to give this to you. You know that flock, COK? I got to give them to you, Lord. It's too much for me. But he can and he will. He is able. And he loves far more than we do. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's what it is to live as a son of God, is to be led by His Spirit. So each and every day, Lord, help us to remember, to ask You to help us to live for You this day. To not only live for You, but for You to live through us. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. What an intimate term. That intimacy that we have with the Lord, we're able to turn to Him and relate to Him that way because He has adopted us. In that culture, something very interesting. A father could disown his son. But a father could not disown the one that he adopted. Isn't that amazing? There is a greater security for the one who is adopted. The Lord has adopted you. He will not disown you. He will not forsake you. He is with you always. You are His, and you are heirs of His kingdom. Paul goes on to say here, you are heirs. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God by virtue of His work. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So we are so identified with Him and walking in His Spirit that we are able to go through life and whatever it brings our way. And boy, does it throw some curveballs, right? But He is able to see us through whatever mess we walk through, whatever the fire is, whatever the shadow of death there is, He's with us to take us through it and to bring us to the destiny He has for us as His heirs. And He is able then to provide the resources we need, not only to get through this life, but in the midst of it all, to be a blessing to the world. That's what we're called to be. For the sake of the world that He loves. For God so loved the world. And that heart of flesh that He's given us is after His own heart. And so He can work that wonder. And I know it in my own life. Been so let down. You could be really ticked off at somebody. You say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Very real experience. And yet, the Holy Spirit empowers you with His love to love right on through that. That's not the way of the world. The way of the world would be to cut them off. The way of the Lord is to love them. By the way, that doesn't mean telling them they're right, telling them that they did well, but it is about caring for their ultimate well-being. That's what the Lord will do. That's what He'll use you. And He'll enable you to speak. You feel like equipped to speak? Hey, He can do it. You just offer yourself to Him. And that's what you're doing coming up here. I know Father Josiah made that clear. You are giving yourselves over to the Lord afresh. Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me out into the world as Your witness in the world. Let my life bear witness to Your transforming love within me. Let my life be a witness to that. And let my words speak to the glory of Your name. About Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let that be so, Lord. We ask in His name. Amen.